Well, welcome to Christchurch Selly Park Online. I hope you've had a good week since our last reflection and that you've experienced something of God's blessing and his provision over that week. My highlight was managing to get to Germany to see my son and his fiance. They recently got engaged and I haven't seen them since Christmas, so it was fabulous and I'm thankful to God for being able to go. We're continuing in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and today we're thinking about learning to live humbly and not for praise. The passage tells us that if we do things for praise, to get praise from people, then we've already received our reward. But if we keep quiet, then in Matthew chapter 6 verse 4 we read, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and we thank you for Jesus. We ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to see and hear what you would want to say to each one of us through this passage today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now Jean's going to read the passage, but before Peter speaks to us, we're going to explore some of the main ideas through three short illustrations brought to us by Phil Smith.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 1. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their rewards in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it would not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, is that the Tear Fund donation line? Good. My name's Rick Stone. I've seen your Central Asia emergency appeal video this evening and I was deeply moved. I felt that I needed to do something, so I'm ringing to make a donation. Oh, I can imagine how much work it'll be. I mean, just getting the aid out there is going to be a problem. But I think I can help with that.
I long to see my people holding their wealth on open palms. I long to see my people with hearts free from the love of money, hearts free to be generous. I long to see the hearts of my people moved by the things that matter in my kingdom. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
So, about my donation, I own a road haulage company, Rigstone's Rolling Stone Haulage. You might have seen our lorries on the motorway. Well, I'm offering the use of 5 of our vehicles for a period of 2 months to help to get the aid to the affected area. Yeah, that's Rick Stone of Rick Stone's Rolling Stone Haulage. Yeah, so 5 10-ton trucks for a period of 2 months. Actually, I'm thinking of giving them a special livery, you know, something like Rick Stone's Rolling Stone Haulage supporting Tier Fund in Central Asia, that sort of thing.
Oh, Rick, isn't it enough that I see your giving and that your reward is kept in heaven for you? Do you really need to be well thought of by your peers? Do you really need the approval of all those who see your trucks on the motorway? That is the reward you want, Rick. You already have it, but you have settled for second best.
O Heavenly Father,
are the prayers of my people rising before me like fragrant incense? My ears are open as they call out to me. I hear their cries for justice and mercy. I listen to their intercessions. And like a father to his children, I long to answer and to bless them.
O Heavenly Father, hear the prayers of your holy people who have gathered in this place of worship for years. In your omniscience, you know our needs before we even ask. There is scarcely any need to list all that ails us and all that bears so heavily upon our hearts this Sunday morning. Nevertheless, we bring before your throne of mercy all these matters, trusting that in your infinite power and wisdom, you can do so much more than we can ask or imagine. Do you hear the congregation murmuring their agreement? Nodding at my prayers? I think my prayers really serve them. I mean, in a prayer meeting, it helps to have somebody as eloquent as I am. Not everybody can express themselves quite as clearly as me. And let's face it, if I didn't pray something, well, half the time we'd be sitting around in embarrassed silence, wouldn't we?
Just who are you praying to, Rick? Are you praying for the benefit of being heard by the congregation? Are they going to answer your prayers? Are you praying to make yourself feel good? Perhaps you yourself have the power to change the world. Do you actually care about the things you are bringing before me? You hear the voices of approval as you pray out loud before your brothers and sisters. Good, for that is your reward and your answer, and you have received it in full.
Well, this is the last piece of food that's passing my lips for a few days. I've really got to sort my life out. Shell seems increasingly distant, and the kids are always squabbling. I tell you, all this time I've had to spend with them in lockdown, it's driving me around the bend. And as for the business, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, things are supposed to be picking up, but we're still struggling. Still, no point blaming circumstances and other people for my woes. Time to make a change. So, I'm going to follow the vicar's advice. Spend some time with God, he said. Fast, he said. Seek his face, he said. Well, here I am.
Down through the ages, my faithful ones have fasted as they sought me out. For a time, they have set aside feasting in their everyday lives and have chosen to come and eat with me. They have learned anew that they do not live by bread alone. Instead, they have strengthened their relationship with the bread of life.
Right, here goes. least I'll lose a few of those lockdown pounds, if nothing else, eh? Although, hang on. I better let people know. Don't want to be turning down dinner invitations for the next few days. Just update my Facebook status. Quick selfie. Hi, everyone. My life's a mess. Need to turn things round. If I look gaunt when next you see me, it's 'cause I'm fasting. This is me on day one. Hashtag fasting for Jesus. Post.
Some of them will sympathise, Rick. Some of them will respect you for your self-sacrificial actions. They will like your post and feedback their approval. But if that's all you want, Rick, that is all you will have. Your stomach will remain hungry, but so will your heart. It's a bit depressing, isn't it? I mean, our relationship with God is a most precious thing. Yet some of the ways that God gives us to express that relationship through praying and giving and fasting can themselves be corrupted. Instead of each one being a means of grace, each one becomes a means of sin. Jesus' audience would have been very familiar with the three situations that Jesus outlines. In the streets and in the synagogues, they would have seen people making their generosity clear to all. They would have heard those showy prayers. They would have witnessed ostentatious fasting. In each case, Jesus skewers the sin. The giving, so that you will be honoured by other people. The praying, in order to be seen by others. The fasting, in such a way that everyone knows you're doing it. At the heart of the matter is this. Who are we doing these acts for? Do we seek the approval of others, or do we seek the approval of God? The issue isn't about whether others know that we give. It isn't about others hearing us pray, and it isn't about people knowing that we fast. In each case, there may be good reasons to share these aspects of your life. And in the Bible, there are many examples, of course, of people coming together to pray. The question is, in doing these things, do we want to please other people or please God? Why is it so destructive to seek others' approval rather than God's? Well, of course, other people are, like us, fallible. Other people, like us, need to be approved of themselves. Other people might not have our best interests at heart. Seeking such approval is building our lives on very shaky ground. God, on the other hand, is perfect. He does not fail. He is the only one who loves us perfectly and is the only one who truly knows what is best for us. And God has absolutely no need for the approval of humankind. Seeking his approval is a much firmer foundation for life. It has been said of the Puritans in America that they lived their lives as if they stood before an audience of one. They carried on their lives as if the only one whose opinion mattered were God. What a great principle to live our lives by, not just as we carry out our giving and our praying and our fasting, but in all areas of our life. Whatever you do, Paul wrote to the Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. How do we get our eyes off ourselves and our hearts away from seeking the approval of other people? Firstly, I found it interesting that slap bang in the middle of this section of the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Lord's Prayer. It is the perfect prayer for refocusing anything that we are doing away from ourselves and onto God. It starts with the reminder of the focus of our lives, our Father in heaven. It takes us away from our own purposes and points us towards God's purposes, that his name be hallowed, that his kingdom come, and that his will be done. And it reminds us of our utter dependency on him for our everyday needs, for forgiveness, and for when we face temptations and trials. Perhaps if we thoughtfully use this pattern of prayer as we give and pray and fast, we would indeed be protected from the temptation of seeking the approval of others. And then secondly, we need to break the habit of wanting people's approval. And this is where Jesus' exhortation to do our acts of righteousness in secret becomes important. As I said earlier, it's not inherently wrong for people to know of our acts of righteousness. But whether we give or pray or fast or post our approval for a good cause on social media or show kindness to a neighbour, we need to ask ourselves, who really are we doing this for? Who really needs to know about this? So here's the question to take away today. Whose approval are we seeking? Other people's or God's?
Well, thank you, Jean, Phil and Peter. And thanks to Ollie too for his technical expertise. We're going to miss you when you go back to university, Ollie. I don't know about you, but I know I fail in this area, wanting to please God, but also wanting people to notice. But our God is patient and compassionate and promises to forgive when we ask. So let's take a moment and just do that now. Christ came in humility to share our lives. Forgive our pride. Lord, have mercy. Christ came with good news for all people. Forgive our silence. Christ, have mercy. God came in love to a world of suffering. Forgive our self-centeredness. Lord, have mercy. Father God, we thank you for the assurance of forgiveness and for the power of your Spirit at work in us to help us to grow in secret acts of righteousness that we might please you and be a blessing to others. Amen.
This week's soul training is called Secret Service, and it's all about acts of help and kindness. When Bobby first asked me to do this, I thought, oh, that'll be easy, I can do that. And then I thought a little bit about the secret bit of it and then realised that actually it required a little bit more planning. I can understand why they say it should be secret, because while our motivation to do things for people, acts of help and kindness, might not be to get thanks, actually, don't we all enjoy, and I certainly do, that nice warm feeling when somebody smiles or is pleased or thanks us. Having said that, over the last few months since Oliver died, my family has been on the receiving end of loads of acts of help and kindness. And actually, knowing who's been doing those things for us has been really lovely because, yeah, being able to thank people and know that you cared for is a great thing. So some of my acts of kindness and help have been planned and taken a little bit of forethought. But then I started thinking about my everyday life and now as I go about my business and go about life. And I thought, actually, if I plan my time and organise myself, I have time to walk to work or bike to work. And while I'm doing that, I meet people and get time to talk to them. One person I've got to know over the last few weeks is somebody who started as a kitchen porter and general tidy upper, I guess, at Bourneville Inn. And I met him on his first day when he was sweeping up outside and we had a little chat. And then since then, I've been able to follow that up and ask him how he's getting on with his new job. So I think really, you know, it's about being intentional and perhaps our attitude as we walk around and travel around. The same is if I'm not organised and I go in the car, I can drive from A to B just thinking about how I need to get there and how quickly I can get there, and I can see everyone else's obstacles. Or I can look at people and see those other people in the car and pedestrians as actual people rather than obstacles. And I can perhaps be a bit more courteous, perhaps let people out. And all those things, as we know, when we're on the receiving end, actually make our days better and easier. So they can be quite simple acts of help or kindness. So I think what I take from this, actually, is perhaps an attitude of being on the lookout for what we might do that could help somebody. And also, while I'm driving around and walking around, just those, that change of attitude and looking out for what can make just somebody's day a little bit better as we go around and interact with each other.
As you know, alongside our Bible teaching each week, we're encouraged to do some practical activity that will help what we learn become what we do. The challenge that Amanda had and that we might want to take up ourselves was to do 5 things that will lift somebody else's burden. They might be completely secret, or it might be that the person we're helping knows. The real challenge is, can we resist the temptation to tell others and be satisfied that our Father in heaven sees what we do and no one else needs to? Let's finish with a prayer. These aren't my own words. God of life and of truth, your Son invites us to see the world through your eyes, and we find ourselves disoriented. You bless the poor, you bless the meek, you bless the pure in heart. You turn our world and its values upside down. Set us at Jesus' feet so we can learn to judge our lives differently. Awaken in us that hunger and thirst for you, which will lead us to your will and your peace. Open our eyes to see your unexpected blessings. Open our hearts to welcome you when you come to us in strange ways. Make us into a community of blessedness that beckons others into your joy. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who blesses us with his living presence and fills our lives with life-changing truth. Amen.